The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, hello, America. It is Straight Up. This is Bill Martinez. We got Scott Burdick at Mission Control. Hey, Scott, today is Big Word Day. I guess, you know, did you know that? So we've got to honor something. Somehow we got to come up with some just incredible words, some Big Word Day. Nothing like that one kid. Have you seen those little kids, you know, that with Steve Harvey? And they had this one kid, he spelled this word. It went across the face of the TV, I think, several times. That is a humongous word. And the fact that he even tried to spell it, and he spelled it correctly, is beyond. In fact, it is so big, I don't even remember the word. And I, you know, but right. that just helps. I mean, and these little kids are brilliant. I mean, they're like, what, you know, they range anywhere from 4, looks like maybe 10 years old, 11 years old. I mean, amazing, the talent that these kids have. And I got to tell you, you know, you and I were talking about it, that today's generation, the kids spend so much time on the couch and they're looking at video games. And, you know, I like shows like this because it shows other kids that are in their peer group going, hey, buddy, you know what? You may be really good on your video games, but you might be left in the dust here because your peers are you know, they're spelling long words, they're doing nunchucks, they're doing all this other stuff, you know, incredible. But, you know, it's just amazing to see what these other kids do. But anyway, let's take a look at the news. You know, people have been saying, pundits have been saying that the longer that Bernie stays in the fight, that it's pushing Hillary Clinton more to the left. And boy, I'll tell you, she's really come up and doubled down on this whole gun issue. She says America just has too many guns. Play that clip for everybody, if you would now.
And when it comes to guns, we have just too many guns on the streets, in our homes, in our neighborhood. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk in this campaign, in the primary campaign, about the power of certain interests in our country. And we do have a bunch of powerful interests, make no mistake about it. But there is no more powerful lobby than the gun lobby.
Well, you know, my first question to her statement, Scott, is why? Why are there too many guns in America?
Well, because we're allowed to have them. And people like them. I mean, it's part of our Constitution.
Could it be that they're more insecure than they've ever been?
That's probably part of it. It sure feels like a lot of times our government has turned to take things away from us, you know, including the, you know, after 9/11, the Patriot Act, or what I believe that's what it was called, that took things away from us, but it made us feel safer. I have a real issue with this because one, gun violence is going down. We're at a 40-year low on gun violence. So if that's the case, and we have more guns,
maybe there's a cause and effect relationship
there. Maybe
there's
a cause and effect relationship there.
Exactly. And look at who's buying the guns. You know, more women today are buying guns than men. What does that tell you? You know, like all of a sudden all the girls are watching Annie Oakley movies or something and thinking, hey, this will be fun. I'll be a sharpshooter. You know, what it is they're realizing they need protection. You know, the police takes them minutes, 19 on average, I think 15, 19 minutes to respond to a situation, and you know, when there's gun violence going on, you measure that in seconds, Scott. You know.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is that you don't enact change through punishment. You enact change through education. So to make guns, people appreciate guns more. A gun is just a tool. So if you want to make people appreciate it more, you need to teach them about it and tell and let them know that this is a very dangerous tool.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people are getting that. And to your point, I totally agree with you on that. But interesting that Hillary is doubling down and moving closer and closer to Bernie on this deal. This could burn her in the general.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believes so strongly in gold that he changed gold ownership forever by bringing back physical gold to the American public, allowing gold coins to be minted and sold to U.S. citizens just like you, starting in 1985. Gold ownership can help protect your financial future, especially when our national debt is spiraling out of control. Many smart Americans have kept their retirements from being wiped out during America's financial crisis thanks to physical gold coins. I strongly urge you to call the U.S. Money Reserve at 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a special gold guide with new, never-before-released information about gold from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. I'm Michael Reagan. Thank you.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound?
Well, hello, America. It's Bill Martinez Live at 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us. For more information on the show that comes to you every Monday through Friday from 9 to 12 Eastern Time, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. Right now, we got Michael Rubin with us, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official, Middle East regional politics, Iran, Syrian, and Persian Gulf expert. And that is a mouthful to say, but that's a lot of territory to cover. And Michael Rubin is up for the job. He has been, and we appreciate his expertise on Bill Martinez Live. Michael, welcome as always. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bill.
A lot going on domestically here in the world of politics, but let's not lose eye of the ball here. There's a lot going on overseas. The president is in Saudi Arabia. He bowed to the king of Saudi Arabia last time. I'm not sure if he's groveling after the threat of those 28 pages being released and the opportunity for the families that were affected by 9/11 that they could potentially sue Saudi Arabia.
Well, you know, ultimately, those 28 pages should be released. Saudi Arabia should be accountable for any complicity, which it had, but we shouldn't simply let Saudi Arabia off the hook. Mm. There's been whistleblowers at the National Security Agency, for example, who have said that we have to delve far deeper into what Iran has done vis-a-vis the whole 9/11 incident. There's a well-known factor, for example, which is in the 9/11 report about Iranian assistance for the transit of the bulk of the 9/11 hijackers to and from their al-Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan. There's also the fact that Iran had sheltered senior al-Qaeda operatives. We shouldn't let anyone off the hook, and those families deserve justice.
Is the president's statement rather hollow, Michael, when he says, well, we don't want any other government suing us? My thought is that, if we're culpable, then we should be sued, not necessarily about this particular 9/11 situation, but in any other situation for that matter. All governments should be accountable, shouldn't they?
Well, you know, this is the State Department's big concern. You could say it's infused with moral equivalence, Bill, but there is a real concern that it could stymie diplomacy, especially because many other countries don't have free and fair courts, so it would become simply a political tool. But the way I tend to look at it is we know what's real. We know what is just political posturing, and if a country decides to politically posture like that and sue the United States, well, then we should limit our relations with them. But in this situation, the Supreme Court delivered some unwelcome news to President Obama when they said that the lawsuit that some Americans had launched in response to Iranian terror, that the Americans could collect against the Central Bank of Iran. This includes the victims of the 1983 Marine Barracks bombing, as well as other Iranian terrorist attacks. So now there is some precedent that isn't simply before the Supreme Court, but has actually passed the Supreme Court.
Exactly. What about the 780 billion dollars in assets, U.S. assets that the Saudis are holding? They're threatening to sell off. But the last time I checked, Michael, there's not a lot of well-heeled countries that would be in the market for that. We were teasing the other day that saying, hey, that might be one of the deals that Donald Trump could make right off the bat. He could probably get those $780 billion, you know, maybe for 10 cents on the dollar. What do you think?
You know, Bill, let's not underestimate how furious Saudi Arabia is at the United States for a variety of reasons right now. We can go into that. But when I look at that Saudi threat to hold the $780 billion worth of interest over the United States by selling those interests, crashing the markets and so forth, we've got to prepare for the fact that with our nation being so indebted, that this is an element of statecraft and, if you will, blackmail, that we're not simply going to be hearing from the Saudis, but from the Chinese and from anyone else. That's why our indebtedness has become such a national security concern.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily mean to make light of it, and I appreciate you bringing it back to center, because that's where really it needs to be. I mean, this is a serious threat, and as you say, and I'm willing to open that door up, and let's talk about why the Saudis are so upset with the United States for destabilizing the Middle East and allowing a pathway for a nuclear Iran.
Well, you know, it's been now just over 70 years since on February 14, 1945, on his way back from the Yalta Conference, President Roosevelt met with Ibn Saud, the leader of Saudi Arabia, on board the USS Quincy in the Suez Canal, and they struck what would become the foundation for our relationship. That relationship was putting Saudi oil front and foremost, and it wasn't simply because of the desire of the United States for Saudi Arabia to market its oil, but World War I was supposed to be the war to end all wars. Suddenly we find ourselves in World War II, the really first oil-driven war, given the mechanization, and what President Roosevelt and subsequent presidents of the United States have concluded is oil's a natural resource. We'd rather have the Saudis use theirs than the Americans expending ours. And so Saudi Arabia has really helped us out. In World War II, they were a member of the Lend-Lease program. They helped support the Allies. They've always answered the 3 a.m. phone call. Have they engaged in a lot of very problematic behavior? Yes, but is it worth throwing out a 70-year relationship? And the way I tend to look at it in conclusion is it's better to have a marriage, even if you fight with your spouse, than have a series of one-night stands, and it seems that's where President Obama is going.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, Michael, it goes back to when you have a problem, even when it includes your wife, and especially so, you know, God tells us not to go, not to go to sleep with our anger. You want to take care of that problem sooner than later, and it seems that we keep deferring some of these issues because we don't want to confront them until they boil up and become the situation and the matter that they've become currently over this 9/11 issue.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, while castigating Saudi involvement in 9/11, the fact of the matter is the Saudis have come around, not necessarily as a result of 9/11 itself, but once they started suffering blowback from al-Qaeda, once they started suffering terrorism in Riyadh in 2003-2004, they became much more serious with regard to the need to counter terrorism, to counter terrorism finance. Today, I would say that Saudi Arabia isn't the chief problem. Qatar is, Turkey is, and Pakistan are.
Exactly. Yeah. And Michael, how upset with the United States is Saudi Arabia behind closed doors regarding our development, of oil in the homeland and becoming independent? Because we've been, you know, hearing time and again, you know, especially during our lifetime, that we should have the goal of being energy independent, that we've been relying on people, for people that don't like us and do things like, what's happened, what's being reported in this 28-page report here with Saudi Arabia. Not that everything should be thrown out, and I agree with you. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, but it just becomes a little bit more challenging when we're talking, so many years down the road from, 2001.
Well, you're absolutely right there, but also, I mean, the Saudis have been diversifying their economy. The former oil minister, Yamani, has famously reminded everyone that the Stone Age didn't end for a lack of stones. You're going to have a situation, however, with the Saudis where they're concerned about the American development of fracking and other oil industry, but it's not all about us. They're much more concerned with the development of fracking technology in China as well, because that's where increasingly their major market is. You've got a situation in which the Saudis figure they have a strategy which can address any multitude of problems, kill two birds with one stone. They're competing against Iran. They're competing against Russia geopolitically. At the same time, they have to worry about the American and Chinese fracking industry. If they can take a short-term loss in order to gain market share in the long term, they're going to try that, and we've got to be prepared for it.
We understand that. Michael Rubin is with us. Our conversation continues right after the break. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare? Having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believes so strongly in gold that in 1985, he changed gold ownership forever. Today, our national debt is spiraling out of control, but gold coins could be the answer. Call 1-866-525-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com to get new, never-before-released information about gold. From the U.S. Money Reserve, call 1-866-525-G-O-L-D.
Dr. Joe Wallach is not your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Dr. Wallach asked, why does America spend more money on health care by far and yet ranks 50th in health and longevity worldwide? The doctor believes that people should be empowered with a basic understanding of nutrition, then take charge of their life to attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects, requiring more toxic prescription drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies, to our own destruction no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit GCNminerals.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join the GCN Minerals team. Go to GCNminerals.com. That's GCNminerals.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. From the Robert Allen System. Current returns not indicative of future results.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. In the summertime.
time when the weather is hot.
Welcome back, America. It's Bill Martinez coming at you. We're live 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Michael Rubin is our guest. Our conversation continues about the Middle East. Michael, relative to the expansion of Iran's nuclear capabilities, though that supposedly we have this agreement, I say supposedly because many people here in America do not have a whole lot of faith in what's going on. And I don't think Saudi Arabia necessarily has a lot of faith either. And there's other regimes there and countries that are saying, look, if they're going to go nuclear, we need to balance the power here. So what is stopping Saudi Arabia from going nuclear?
Well, and frankly, there's nothing stopping Saudi Arabia from going nuclear. They could buy an off-the-shelf weapon from Pakistan or North Korea, should they so desire, and indeed they might go down that route. The important thing to remember about the Iran nuclear deal is even if Iran abides by the agreement, and Saudi Arabia's big beef, as with the regional countries, are that President Obama, John Kerry, didn't clue them into the negotiations, include them so they could plug the loopholes better. But even if Iran abides by the agreement, at the end of the decade, they're going to be left with an industrial-scale nuclear program. They're going to be left with 5,000 T1 centrifuges. Remember, Pakistan built a nuclear arsenal with just 3,000 of the same level of technology centrifuges.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, I want to talk to you about you know, what is being perceived here by many as an anti-Semitic stance against Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu by this administration. And recently, again, we hear, the vice president making some comments that, I'm going, where are they taken out of context? Are we misunderstanding? I mean, they seem rather aggressive and condemning towards the prime minister.
Well, you're absolutely right, and what's really troubling here is, number one, it seems the Obama administration is willing to trash another relationship that goes back decades, in effect prioritizing President Obama's personal peak above national security. On the other hand, it's completely hypocritical, because of course we hear that President Obama really was upset with Prime Minister Netanyahu for coming before Congress and interfering in the American domestic political debate, and there you have Vice President Joe Biden talking to an Israeli member of the opposition saying, I can't wait until the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, is filled with people from your party. If that's not interference, I don't know what is. And we've got to recognize, Bill, Israel's a democracy, so he's not opposing Netanyahu. He's opposing the will of the Israeli people.
Exactly. Well, I guess if you figure you can get away with it here in America, why can't you try another country? I mean, sometimes those habits are hard to break, right?
Well, that's absolutely the case, and there's lots of rumors about that one of President Obama's ambitions is to take a United Nations post, like becoming Secretary General, after he leaves office. This is one of the things the Israelis most worry about, and more immediately they worry that President Obama might take this peak and at the United Nations do something which will do permanent damage to the Israeli U.S. relationship, create a new fact on the ground that's not going to create peace, but in reality would actually probably precipitate more terror.
What do you think the likelihood of the Russians agreeing to that would be? Because they'd have to agree to Obama becoming the Secretary General of the United Nations, wouldn't he?
Well, I think it's much more likely that President Obama would end up having a resolution that would undercut Israel's security at the United Nations Security Council rather than him becoming Secretary General. But in President Obama's mind, he can overcome everything. Indeed, one of the White House aides said that his main message in Saudi Arabia, just circling the square, is going to be telling the Iranians and the Saudis to get along. That's like telling lions and lambs to get along.
Right. Well, they've been trying to tell the Jews and Hamas to get along, and Hamas says, while they're having the conversation, says yes, and they keep lobbing missiles. So, I don't understand it. I mean, it's too dichotomous for me. But another thing here recently is we found out that Israel discovered, some more natural gas in the Golan Heights of all places, and Russia is, they're licking their chops right now, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. I mean, and we got to remember, when it comes to the gas fields that have been discovered around Israel and in the Golan Heights, you've got a situation in which this is really a game changer in a number of ways. Let's hope the Israelis are wise enough to make it so. But ultimately, it shows that the region could self-sustain should they have the desire to stop fighting each other the way they are. The problem isn't Israel. The problem is some of the internal dynamics, of course, in Syria, among the Palestinians and elsewhere.
Well, once again, I mean, it is kind of ironic. Here, Syria was sitting on this property all this time, didn't even know there was gold in them thar hills, so to speak. And Israelis, with their technology and wisdom, you know, they start digging holes, and you know, they're like Jeb Clampett, man. They find oil, you know, or natural gas in this case.
Unfortunately, in this case, the Israeli Supreme Court has basically issued a ruling that doesn't give guarantees to many of the companies that are dropping this investment. So in some ways, the Israelis have become their own worst enemy commercially, going back to the good old days, and I put that in quotes, of course, of East Germany, rather than looking towards the future and wanting to be more like Singapore.
Yeah, why would they want to give up that property that they did? And I mean, that's been the push, not to mention its strategic military advantage, Michael. I mean, I was there just on the Golan Heights a couple of months back. We were sitting on top of an old blown-out Syrian compound there, and I'm standing next to a uniformed major, and he goes, well, just over there, you know, a couple clicks away is Hamas, and then we've got Al-Qaeda over here, and in between we've got the IDF, and I'm going, we're on top of this building next to a uniformed major for what reason now?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, but you're absolutely right. And when we look back at the Golan Heights, when we look back at some of the other issues, the thing to remember is if you engage in a war, if you invade another country, and you can expect the United Nations will turn around and say, you get all your territory back, it takes away the disincentive from launching invasions in the first place. The
exactly.
idea that Syria would launch a war of aggression and then not expect to lose or suffer any consequences is beyond me.
Well, what do you forecast here with this upcoming, you know, presidential election? Hillary versus Trump, let's just, you know, assume this for right now, and relevant to the Middle East, what do you see with a Hillary presidential administration?
Well, when it comes to Hillary, it would be in many ways business as usual. Hillary Clinton would have to contend with the fact that the Democratic Party has shifted quite far to the left, and along with that shift, it's become quite anti-Israel. That said, I don't believe that's where Hillary Clinton's gut instincts are, and she also does recognize that if you engage in moral equivalence, if you say that both sides are equally culpable, what you do is you just encourage more extremism because people figure they have to take more extreme stakes if you're just going to come down in the middle.
Is she going to keep pushing for this exchange, you know, land for peace deal that America has, you know, failed with miserably for the last, I want to say, two decades at least? Is she going to, you know, try to pursue that as well, you think?
Well, Bill, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail, and if you're a diplomat, everything looks like a subject for dialogue. Honestly, and this is going to come from left field, what I'd like to see happen is, of course, you know that in both the year 2000 under the Clinton administration and 2008 under the Bush administration, the Israelis gave the Palestinians a peace deal, which the Palestinian negotiators had helped negotiate. And first Yasser Arafat, then Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian chairman who's now in the 12th year of his four-year presidency, turned that down. Rather than rely on dictators, what I'd like to see is the Israelis or the United Nations or whomever sponsor a referendum directly to the Palestinian people saying, this is the deal, and you either accept it and you accept Israel and you accept the security issues and you understand there's going to be limits of the law of return, or you don't accept it. And frankly, if most of the Palestinians aren't willing to accept it, let's move on. There's problems with the Rohingya Muslims in Burma. There's problems with the Kurds. We shouldn't be expending all this diplomatic energy on a group of people that simply may not want peace.
Well, I'll tell you, it may come out of left field, Michael, but that's probably one of the best ideas I've heard in a long time, because it's already been noted, and it started out with Arafat saying that they had to get 100%. If they didn't get 100% of the deal, then, you know, you were an infidel and you needed to have your family, you know, killed and eradicated and everything else. So they've got to take it away from these officials, and the UN might be the perfect solution to it. I think that's an awesome idea. Well, Michael Rubin has been our guest. Michael, always good to have you with us. He's a resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official, Middle East regional politics expert. Michael Rubin, thank you so much for being with us on Bill Martinez Live.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Why does the medical community dispense little colorful pills to restrict the production of stomach acid? You ever think about that? Isn't it stomach acid's job to break down food before it enters the small intestines? Could this possibly lead to compromised digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications? Well, the FDA has issued a number of product warnings, including all proton pump inhibitor drugs, either for prescription or over-the-counter purchases. These potential interactions have ranged from absorption alterations of vitamins and minerals, metabolic effects on bone density, alteration of drug interactions and their intended effect, infection risk, and even organ damage. Is it possible to find safer solutions to heartburn? At Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of healthy digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acids lead to healthy body. Again, 855-305-8326.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believed so strongly in gold that in 1985, he changed gold ownership forever. Today, our national debt is spiraling out of control, but gold coins could be the answer. Call 1-866-525-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com to get new, never-before-released information about gold. From the U.S. Money Reserve, call 1-866-525-GOLD.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, thank you for making the move to tune us in and over 270 markets across these United States and around the world via shortwave. This is Bill Martinez. We're coming at you live. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's the exact address. And if you want to get involved in the conversation, by all means, hashtag BMartinezLive. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. And our next guest had a runaway bestseller with her book, The Residence, which, you know, gave you some inside look to the leadership of the White House. And there's no doubt that with that that success, it would only increase reason as to why not do a follow-up on the first women of the White House. And she is the author of, like I say, the New York Times bestseller, The Residence. Kate Anderson Brower is going to be with us in a moment. And we're going to talk about First Women, the grace and power of America's modern first ladies. As I mentioned in her runaway bestseller, Residence, Brower revealed what goes on behind the scenes at the White House. Now she returns to tell the stories of the true power brokers, some might say, at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. None other than the First Ladies. Think about it. This new book, First Women, The Grace and Power of America's Modern First Ladies, is filled with headline-making revelations. So we can't wait to get her on the phone, and we'll talk to her about those specifics. In fact, I've just been told that she's with us right now. Kate Anderson Brower, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me. I'm great.
Hey, congratulations on The Residence, a runaway bestseller. And with that popularity and the interest of White House happenings, it only stood to reason that you should do a follow-up on The First Women, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I was working on The Residence, I would, you know, I talked to butlers and maids, and they would always talk about their relationships with the first ladies, and when a decision comes from the second floor, that means it's coming from the first lady, and so I was kind of intrigued to know a little bit more about these women who we see as these global icons, but we don't know that much about, really.
Well, and that's the beauty of, in both books, but particularly in this one, is you've got a lot of background information from the people who know them on a daily basis in a way that we don't see them in the media.
Yeah, I mean, I interviewed, you know, their family members, their friends, their chiefs of staff and assistants, and I interviewed Rosalynn Carter for this book and for the first book, and Laura and Barbara Bush for my first book, so I used some of that conversation with them that I couldn't fit into the first book in this book,
right,
about just kind of the difficulties of living in the White House and how these women handle it as wives and mothers and political advisors to their husbands.
Well, what an incredible responsibility when you can, you know, you think about it. You know, being the first lady, you are in the absolute fishbowl of the world, and you're blamed for everything, it seems.
It is interesting. Rosalynn Carter said, you know, she knew she was criticized for attending cabinet meetings when she was first lady, but she told me that she knew she'd get criticized no matter what she did, and so she might as well do what she wanted to do. And, you know, Betty Ford, a woman wrote to Betty Ford, just a regular, you know, an average voter, said, "You are constitutionally required to be perfect." And Betty Ford thought that was very funny. And, you know, her son Steve Ford said, "My mother was an ordinary woman in an extraordinary time." And I think that's the case for a lot of these women.
What great insight from the son, you know, to understand that and respect, you know, the kind of thing that happens. Because, you know, in that particular case, you don't know until you know, do you, Kate? I mean, and how do you go? I mean, you can't go to a college. You can't go to some sort of training school,
right,
you know, to be the first lady. You're there and you're learning on the job, and you better. And guess what? You got about 2 seconds to learn, right?
Exactly, and I think that's why they empathize with each other so much. I found these great letters between the first ladies that haven't been published before, and some of them show how, you know, Lady Bird Johnson would check in and call Betty Ford on tough days during the administration just to check on her, and how they reached out to each other with Jackie Kennedy and Lady Bird staying friends over the decades because they understand, you know, Laura Bush, when Hillary Clinton was crying in New Hampshire and that famous, you know, image of her getting upset, and how that might have helped her in New Hampshire. Laura Bush's aides said, "Gosh, can you believe this? She's Hillary's putting on such a show for the voters." And Laura Bush said, "You have no idea how hard this is."
Mm-hmm.
And she really sympathized with Hillary in a way that even her, you know, staffers didn't. So I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, when you also address, you know, the cheating. We hear a lot about John Kennedy's cheating. And now, I mean, we heard some about Lyndon Johnson. It just seems that now, you know, all holes barred and everybody's just opening up the closets here. And we're hearing about not only more of John Kennedy's, but then Lyndon Johnson. And, of course, we knew quite vividly, unfortunately, about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. And you address how they handled that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a deal that these women make. You know, they understand. Jackie Kennedy, I was surprised, knew a lot more than I would have thought about her husband's cheating. And and Lady Bird Johnson did, too. And of course, Hillary Clinton did. So, I mean, they learned to grapple with that and learned to kind of sweep some of those things under the rug. I mean, you know, they're dealing with these incredibly powerful, ambitious men. But the point that this book makes is that these women are also doing what they want to do. I mean, Jackie Kennedy knew about JFK's cheating, and she decided to, on Thursday afternoons, go to the country. She would go to horse country in Virginia and go riding and spend time with her children and really focus on her children. And she wouldn't come back to the White House until Monday night or Tuesday. She was gone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she really craved that privacy. And, you know, she famously said, "If you bungle raising your children, I don't think whatever else you do well matters very much.
Amen. Boy.
Yeah. Which is amazing. I mean, and, you know, Hillary went to Jackie asking for advice about how she raised such great kids. And so she really focused on her children in much the same way that Michelle Obama does.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this book, you offer what is being said, a detailed and insightful new portrait of Hillary Rodham Clinton, asking about her tumultuous years in the White House. And you say it may tell us about her own historic presidential run and what life may be like with the nation's first husband.
Well, I interviewed several members of Hillary Clinton's inner circle on the record. You know, her first chief of staff, I interviewed Milan Verveer. And these women said that, you know, Hillary Clinton will use Bill Clinton as an envoy. You know, probably if she's elected president, send him out on diplomatic missions around the world. He's got great relationships as a former president. He will not be picking out China and floral arrangements, you know, and obviously neither will Hillary. So she'll hire a really experienced social secretary to do that for her. But of course, it's unprecedented. It would be interesting if he wasn't a former president to see if it would be how that role would be. If he was just, you know, a businessman or, you know, so we could compare it more directly to what we've seen with first ladies before. But I mean, he just breaks the mold in every way as a former president. So it's going to be fascinating to see what that's like.
Well, I imagine her personal secretary would probably, or somebody else, you'd have to hire to take on, you know, some of those first lady type duties that they would naturally, you know, go to. I doubt that the former first president would be comfortable in, you know, setting up some of the things that the first ladies would naturally do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, and I interviewed Walter Mondale, who is Carter's vice president and who is a friend of the Clintons, and he said, you know, Bill is somewhat unorganizable. So I love that phrase because he's like,
great.
You know, we'll see what happens, but he will not be picking out China and flowers. And Hillary didn't really love doing that either, frankly, in the White House. So they will have to have a team of very experienced people around them.
Well, one final question here, Kate. You addressed the safety of the first ladies and how vulnerable they are.
Yeah, I talked to resident staffers who said they're very concerned about the safety of the family because more contract workers are hired who don't have the same kind of full vetting that the full-time staffers
wow.
have. So it's a big concern for them, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible when you think about this day and age that somebody could penetrate. And we've had some penetration there in the boundaries of the White House that has been increasingly concerning, haven't we?
It's incredible what's happened recently. Michelle Obama's livid about it, understandably.
Yeah, exactly. Kate Anderson Brower, congratulations on the book First Women, a follow-up to her runaway bestseller, The Residence, on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Kate. It's 19 before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro 1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com or 800-544-3533.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-Second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
From the Robert Allen System. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believes so strongly in gold that in 1985, he changed gold ownership forever. Today, our national debt is spiraling out of control, but gold coins could be the answer. Call 1-866-525-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com to get new, never-before-released information about gold. From the U.S. Money Reserve, call 1-866-525-G-O-L-D.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve, the movie guy, he is in the house to talk movies and Disney, and what an incredible weekend. They surpassed expectations. Is that fair to say?
Oh, big time. The Jungle Book had a huge opening, $103.3 million. This was the second largest April opening weekend of all time, wow, right behind Fast and Furious. I mean, it's an amazing year for Disney. I mean, mm-hmm. It started with Zootopia, of course, which came out in March. We have The Jungle Book in April, Captain America, Civil War, that's happening in May, Finding Dory will be in June, mm-hmm. and then we have Mona, The Rogue One, Star Wars Story, Doctor Strange, all coming up. This is shaping up to be the biggest year at the box office for the Disney company.
Who's counting all their money, Steve?
I don't know, man. It is incredible.
I mean, Zootopia alone, still top five. It's over 300, what, 300, almost 308 million just domestically?
Just here in this country alone, yeah. So
unbelievable.
A money machine.
Ka-ching.
We had the Barbershop Next Cut. That was number two, making about 20.3. The Boss, Melissa McCarthy's movie, was number three. Batman versus Superman, The Dawn of Justice. That movie has made about $311 million in this country. Half of that was opening weekend. And
exactly,
as you mentioned, Zootopia rounding out the top five. I had a chance to see...
Hey, Steve-O, before you go there real quick, what happens, I mean, when you have something, you know, that breaks out like that, $103 million, and then, you know, second place is like, you know, one-fifth that number just about, you know, it's like you're a peanut by comparison. It's like, oh, why did we have to come out the same week as Jungle Book, you know?
I don't think anybody wants to open against Disney this year.
Yeah.
But it was a smaller movie, The Barbershop, making about 20
yes.
million or so, but that was within the expectations, so it's all relative, I guess.
Yeah,
Jungle
exactly.
Book was a huge project, cost a lot of money to put that up on the screen, but it's returning in kind. So,
well, as we talked about last week, you know, the modern day technique and animation that's available to these artists, you know, compared to when the first Jungle Book came out, wow, it's just it's incredible. I mean, and this is what you know, gives you reason to, hey, why not do a sequel or why not do an update on some of these when you have, you know, this kind of production available?
Well, that's true. I mean, they do have the technology now that they didn't have back in 1967, and really it's able to bring so much more of the story and the imagining of that story to the screen. I mean, it really is a good time to be going to the movies these days because of everything that they can do.
Well, let's talk about the one movie I interrupted you on because I want to hear more about that as well.
Oh, Sing Street, yes. It's a small movie, only on about five screens. Weinstein Company brought this movie out. Hopefully it gets a wider release. Sing Street is about this young guy in Dublin back in the 80s. He's going to a tough school. He's having a hard time at home, but he meets a girl, falls in love, and to impress her, he forms a band and invites her to be in the music videos. That's the story. It's been done before, of course, but it's so charming, and the music is great. You just leave the theater feeling terrific. So I would highly recommend it. Hopefully it gets the wide release. It's called Sing Street. You can check out the trailer and see what I'm talking about.
I'll guarantee you there's not a theater here in Florida where I'm at where I can find Sing Street, by the way. I want you to know that. So tell them they need to send me a producer's link so I can view it, you know?
Maybe so. I think, as I said before, one of the great things about being around now is that there are all kinds of ways to watch these movies. So if you don't get a chance to see it at the theater, it's going to hit Netflix or Amazon or one of those internet services, and everybody will have a chance to see it.
Exactly.
We have a movie called The Huntsman Winter's War that's coming out this weekend. Now, you may remember Snow White and the Huntsman.
Mm-hmm.
Came out a couple of years ago.
Right.
Made about $400 million, but most people remember it as the movie where Kristen Stewart had an affair with the director, Rupert Sanders, and ended her relationship with Robert Pattinson and truly bringing an end to the Twilight saga. That all happened behind the scenes. The movie went out, made about $400 million, so they decided to bring out not exactly a sequel. This is more of a spin-off, The Huntsman Winter's War. This is about Freya, the Ice Queen, this time played by Emily Blunt. She brings her sister Ravenna, played by Charlize Theron, back to life, and these powerful evil siblings plan to conquer the Enchanted Forest. Only the Huntsman, played by Chris Hemsworth, and his secret lover Sarah, played by Jessica Chastain, can stop them in the sequel, continuing the inventive twist on the Snow White fable. Not getting great reviews. Only about 19% are recommending this one. They say that it's not bringing a whole lot of new material to the screen. One critic even saying Charlize Theron is off screen for a full hour, presumably reading better scripts. Ouch.
That was by
USA Today.
Wow. But, well, she kept melting the Ice Queen. That was the problem.
I guess.
Yeah, no, they said, get her off. You know, don't let her be on with the Ice Queen here. She's melting her.
Speaking of special effects, though, I mean, it's beautiful to look at. Check out the trailer. I mean, they're really able to do a lot with the fairy tale genre now because of all of the special effects that they have available. So check out the trailer. If you're into the fairy tale thing, it's one to see this weekend. The Huntsman, Winter's War. Then you may remember all the way back in 1970. It was on a December morning back in 1970. The king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, actually showed up on the lawn of the White House to request a meeting with the most powerful man in the world at that time, President Nixon. This is the original odd couple here. This is the untold true story behind this revealing and yet very humorous moment in the Oval Office that is forever immortalized in the most requested photograph in the National Archives. You've probably seen the photograph of Nixon and Elvis. Now, this has a great cast. We have Michael Shannon playing Elvis and Kevin Spacey playing Nixon. 66% of the critics are recommending this movie. One saying this, it says, in the opening crawl of the movie, it alerts us to the fact that there is no actual transcript that exists of the actual encounter. But if it didn't happen the way it does here, it should have. That's according to New York Magazine. Check out the trailer once again. Elvis and Nixon opening up this weekend.
Yeah, but he had tapes. What happened to all the tapes? Was that part of the, along with the 18 minutes that got missing, was the moments with Elvis? Is that what happened?
That is a great point. I'll bet if you looked somewhere, you know, deep in the archives at the Nixon Library, there may be something on that encounter.
Well, I would think so, but what an incredible story. I mean, all of a sudden, the guy shows up on the White House lawn, and, you know, and Barack Obama's concerned about security.
It's one of those bizarre
things. And those were the days, remember? He was like, you know, into karate and all this stuff, and, you know, he had a gun permit, and I think he even had a deputy badge at one point or something.
Well,
I'm not talking Nixon.
Badge.
That's yeah, I'm talking about
given
Elvis.
To him at the White House. They gave him the badge at the White House.
And oh, they gave him the White House badge there. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
And
no,
the
deputy,
deputy badge. And he became a deputy FBI agent or something like that. And, yes, he was packing a lot of firepower on the way into the White House, which, of course, caused quite a stir as well. So.
Well, on top of that, he got the decoder ring, too. I mean, everybody wants the decoder ring. And you got to really be – you got to be up there, you know, like President Obama says, you got to be a top, top, top secret to get the decoder ring.
I guess so. Stranger than fiction. The true meeting between Elvis. Okay.
That's got to be – that's going to be fun. That's just, you know, when you don't – when you have an extra moment –
oh, yeah.
And God only knows if I could find one here. That could be fun to watch.
It does look like an unusual film, as to say the least. We have a Hologram for King. I'm going to try to see this weekend. Yes, this does have a wide release. This is starring Tom Hanks. It reminds me of that movie several years ago called Salmon Fishing in the Yemen, which is one of my favorite films. That one starred Ewan McGregor and Emily Blunt. This is starring Tom Hanks, Alexander Black, Sarita Chowdhury, and Ben Whishaw. Now, this is about an American businessman played by Tom Hanks. He's kind of down on his luck. He's sent to Saudi Arabia to close what he hopes will be the deal of a lifetime. He's selling hologram internet meeting systems. So you can, you know, bring up this hologram. It's like having an actual meeting. That's what he's selling. He's baffled by the local customs, stymied by this bureaucracy he has to deal with. Eventually, he finds his footing with the help of a wisecracking taxi driver, Alexander Black, and a beautiful Saudi doctor played by Sarita Chowdhury. Once again, 63% are recommending this one. It looks really cool. And the director for this has, what they say, one critic says, skillfully presents a series of fantastical scenes in a way that has us thinking, sure, that could happen. This is quite simply a beautiful film to behold. That's Richard Roper with the Chicago Sun-Times. So you might want to check out A Hologram for a King this weekend.
Hey.
And then we have another fairy tale movie, which was very big at the Cannes Film Festival opening up. It's called Tale of Tales. 79% of the critics are recommending this. If you check out the trailer, it's stunning visually. Other critics are saying it's magnificent, it is grotesque, it is beautiful, it is breathtaking, truly something to look at. This is about a fairy tale. Once upon a time, as these things always begin, there were three neighboring kingdoms, each with a magnificent castle from which ruled kings and queens, princes and princesses. One king was a philandering libertine, another captivated by a strange animal, while one of the queens was obsessed by her wish for a child. Now, in this, you have sorcerers and fairies, fearsome monsters, you have ogres, an old washerwoman, acrobats, courtesans. They're all the protagonists of this loose interpretation of the celebrated tales of Giambattista Basile.
What did they do? Did they go to a radio station to get these players here? I mean, we run into these all the time, don't we, Scott? I mean, it's all...
I think I've worked there. I have worked with that staff.
I know these people. Okay.
So, yeah, it's really something to see. Check out the trailer. You'll see what I mean. 79% recommending Tale of Tales. Then we have a movie which is starring Omar Chaparro, who is a big... big star down in Mexico.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Mexican film called Compadres, which is an action comedy, 45% recommending that one. And then The Meddler with Susan Sarandon, also out and getting good reviews, 82% recommending that one. So it's a good weekend at the movies, a lot out there to see, and hopefully you'll get a chance to go to the multiplex and check it all out.
Hey, exactly. And don't forget the popcorn, okay? We got to have plenty of popcorn.
Absolutely.
You know, to me, movies, popcorn, they all go together. It's like a day without sunshine if you don't have both of them. Well, Steve-O, I agree with you. I think we got some great offings here, and Elvis and Nixon could just be a fun one. And even, you know, while you're, you know, making it a King weekend, why not watch the other one, huh? A Hologram for the King. Why not?
Good point. Absolutely.
Well, we'll see you there. Steve the Movie Guy on Bill Martinez Live.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.